Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And this morning I want to preach this word that's called room in the kingdom. Room in the kingdom. Tell somebody there's room in the kingdom. Tell them there's lots of room in the kingdom. Amen. All right, John 3, 16 to 17. And it says, for God so what? For God so loved the world that he what? When you love, you give. Don't tell me you love me, you don't want to give me nothing. All you husbands are like, I love you, girl, but I ain't giving you nothing. You're like, pfft. And you wives are like, yes, stop saying it. It's time for you to show it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All you ladies should have been loud. That was your cue. I'll say it again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, your boyfriend, man. Come on, these cheap boyfriends you got. You know, I saw this funny thing yesterday. I put on my story. So, you know Boaz, right? So, everything ends with A-Z. Boaz, right? But some of you got some broke ass, man. And they even want to come and beat your ass. I'm just kidding. I'm telling you, right? But we got it. It's A-Z, guys. This is church. We're having a good time. Amen? Right, A-Z, not A-S-S, you bad people. Right, A-Z, yeah, Boaz. But yeah, we got to be givers, amen? We got to be givers. Because what did God do? He what? He gave. When we were in need, he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. Oh, that's hard. That's hard. That is hard, guys. Only. You know, you have a last piece of meat on your plate and somebody's asking you for it. You're like, no, you can't have it. That's the only piece I have. Isn't that true? Yeah. You're like, move those hands. You're like, pull out that kung fu. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, whosoever, turn to your neighbor and say, you are a whosoever. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. 17. This is important. Now, this is where the church sometimes misses it. And I hope by the end of today, we fix our outlook on unbelievers. And we fix our outlook on those people that we think are a little off. For God did not send his son into the world to what? But yet Christians go around and we condemn people. Not based on what you say, because you could say the right thing, but you give a dirty look. Who do you think you are? And you nod your nose at them. And you look at them in a way that condemns them. You could say, I love you, but the look sends shares the position of your heart. The look tells the position of your heart. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but what? That the world. The who?
The world.
The church?
The world.
The good people? Can I tell you, all of us were once jacked up on our way to hell?
Yes.
And I'm going to say yeah for me. Yes. Let this be a moment of revelation that had it not been for the goodness of God, had it not been for the mercies of God, had it not been for the help of God the Father sending Jesus into the world, all of us had one destination. That no matter which GPS you use, Samsung or Apple or Garmin back in the day, or TomTom back in the day. See, you guys don't even know what a TomTom is. But if you were like in the 2000s doing deliveries like me, you had a TomTom GPS. It was white. Yes. We were all on our way to hell, to a lost eternity, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
The world might be saved. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will just speak to us. Hey, hallelujah. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let us hear your voice. Holy Ghost, just move through this room. And I pray by the end of today, hearts will be surrendered here and online. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we've been in this series called Hisdom, meaning it is His kingdom, right? The kingdom that we are in is not our own. So hence, the church is in the kingdom of God. So the church has to operate according to God's standards. I'll say that again. The church has to operate on God's standard. Why do we praise? Because God inhabits the praise of His people. Why do we dance? It shows our thankfulness to the Lord. We do not dance to look good to each other, because if I was dancing for anyone, no one would like it. So I would have gotten a zero right there, right? So all that we do is for God. We pray because what? It is a tool of the kingdom. It is one of the weapons of the kingdom. God has given us weapons. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, meaning they are not physical. So we do not use a gun. We do not use a sword. We do not use a knife. But yet we have a spiritual sword, which is the word of God. Got it? So in the kingdom, we use spiritual weapons. Let me share this. Christians are not weak. Christians are not helpless. Christians are not alone. You know why Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will send you the helper who is the Holy Ghost. So you got help. And your weapons, you've got weapons. Read Ephesians 6. You got weapons. They are not, you cannot see them. But not because you don't see it, don't mean I don't got it. You know, sometimes people have these little guns in their pocketbooks and you mess with the grandma, you think you could rob her. She pulls that gun out and pow. Like, where did that come from? Because she has a concealed, she is a concealed carrier. I want to talk to you, church. You are concealed carriers. You are concealed carriers because you got weapons. So stop thinking that you are weak and you are helpless and you are without hope. I want to talk to you this morning. Who have called you, has empowered you and enabled you and equipped you, because the word says greater is He that is in. Okay, I'll do that again. Greater is He that is in
me.
One more time. So you just heard, if you're new to church, you just heard the lingo. So now, greater is He that is in
me.
Ooh, that sounds good. I want a fourth one. Greater is He that is in
me.
Whoa, hallelujah. I'll be excited all by myself. I know you're all tired and you shopped all weekend and stuff. I intentionally did not go shopping yesterday. But I went on Black Friday. I stayed home yesterday to reserve my energy because I know I got to preach today. Amen? But Pastor Cher was out there doing her thing. Amen? Yeah. But what happened here, I want to just draw our attention. As we said, we do things the way God wants it done. God so loved the world. And I had given the choir another song to sing. And it's so amazing that they sang Good News. And that ties right in with what I'm about to speak. The gospel is what? Good news. And the Bible says, he that believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Good. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Now this love is not conditioned. This love is an unconditional love, which we know as agape love. You know, in the world, if you behave right, you're going to get rewarded. If you do good, you're going to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But in the word of God and in the kingdom of God, the Bible says, if your sin be like crimson, meaning it is red, it is bright know, some people do worse than some. You know that, right? You got kids, you got 3-4 kids, it got to be a bad one. Not necessarily, right? But in each household, one of the children is naughtier than the other ones. It's true. I got 4, and I know the naughty one. Right? So now let's put that over outside the house. There's some crazy people out there. Now there's white collar crime. Those are the guys that rob your pension and you smiling. Those are the Bernie Madoffs of the world who look so sincere, well put together. But the Bible said the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it doesn't matter how a person looks. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. So we see Bernie looking good. We all know Bernie Madoff, right? If you don't, please Google it. Have a strong heart before you Google it, because he was a madman. But Bernie Madoff, he was an investor. And he was giving people returns on their money. And they thought that their money was safe, that their money was growing and blah, blah, blah. It all came down in 2008, 2009, when the economy crashed. Something got exposed somehow, and we all found out that Bernie Madoff, he was running a Ponzi scheme. So he was just moving money from one person to the next person, whoever wanted a return, to make you feel as if your money was growing. But yet, we look at Bernie, and we said Bernie didn't kill nobody. Bernie didn't physically assault anybody. But yet, what was it? Sin. Because he was a thief. Now, there's some thieves that come and hold you up with a gun. But then there's some thieves that know how to fleece you very nicely. That was Bernie. So, we in the world, there are different levels to wickedness. Hello? As a result of Bernie's scheme, hundreds of families were affected. People lost their homes, lost their livelihood, lost their pensions, because they thought that they had a good thing going. But do you know that God loves Bernie? That's a tough pill to swallow. Because Bernie is included in the whosoever. The man on death row is in the whosoever. Just as how I am in the whosoever, you are in the whosoever, your children are in the whosoever. The man, remember the thief on the cross? At the last moment, he said, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. What did Jesus say to him? This day. What Jesus said to him? Today you will be with me in where? Paradise. The man was in the whosoever. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you got to believe with your heart. Romans 10, 9, 8 and 9, if you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart, it's a twofold thing. The belief is a deep conviction in your core that Jesus is the Son of God. He died, he buried, and God rose him from the dead. He defeated the devil, he defeated sin, and he defeated the grave. And I tell you, once you are convicted and you believe that in your heart, it's not just you coming to the altar and making a little confession. No, it is a hard conviction. Even if your physical heart is not working good, if your spiritual heart receives that Jesus is Lord, listen, that will translate. It's possible that it will translate from your spiritual heart to your physical heart and bring healing. But it all begins with the position of your heart. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto salvation. We do not get saved by our works, But we get whosoever believes in him. In him. In him. So Jesus is our access point to the kingdom. I said Jesus is our access to the kingdom. He is the door to the kingdom. In John 10, 7, Jesus clearly says, he says, I am the door. I am the door. He didn't say, I am a door. He was clear. He didn't stutter. He didn't say, I am the, no, he said, I am the door. He was strong, and he made emphasis. You know, in the world today, we hear in when you watch a TV and you listen to stuff on social media, because everybody gets their news from social media today, for the most part. A few of us watch the evening. Let me see how many people watch the evening news at 10 p.m. One hand in the back, two. You see what I'm saying? But all of us, even if you're over 70, you're on that Facebook. You're on that Insta, you're on that YouTube, and some of you catching up with Threads. But yeah, we're all on there because what? It is easy access. It is the same way with Jesus. He is the door. He is easy access to the Father. I want to tell you today, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to sweat for it. All you got to do is believe it. So he says, I am the door. Through me, you will go in and out and you will find pastures. Why door? Most of us sitting here, I'm not going to say all of them, just say most, just to be safe. We got a door in our house. Most of us, we got a door to our apartment. And when you get through the door, in the house, you got a door to your bathroom. Let me see who uses the bathroom without the door closed. Keep your hands down. Keeping the door open is a liability. You might hurt someone. Extension scars. Yeah, we all have doors. Why doors? Doors are access points. Doors give access to your home. So I want to speak to you about some spiritual doors. In your body, you have doors. You have an eye, it's a doorway. You have an ear, it's a doorway. You have a mouth, it's a doorway. These are all doorways. Because what you let in, the Bible said, the eye is the lamp or the light of the body. What you let in through the eyes could destroy the soul. Hello? What you let in through your eyes can fill your heart with fear. What you enter, allow into your eyes can corrupt your appetite. Not what you eat, what you desire, I'm talking about. Yes. What you listen to can corrupt your desires. You ever seen the guys, the killers? What kind of music you think killers listen to? Oh, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. No, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to bust you with the cap in your face, yeah. Because what it does, it stimulates them. They get amped up. And in their ear, they're hearing their grandma's, in their heart, grandma's saying, boy, follow the right friends. Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, be humble. Johnny, be a good boy. But then they say, turn the music up louder. I want it louder. To try to block out what the good counsel that is in their heart. Because the Bible says, if faith comes by hearing, And hearing by the word of God, you better believe. Fear comes by hearing. You better believe that violence comes by hearing. You better believe that hatred comes by hearing. Be careful. You know, we used to sing that little song. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Anybody ever remember that? If you don't, please teach it to your kids. So it's going to always ring in their hearts. So doors are gates. So you give access. So doors give access. In ancient cities, they were walled around. Remember when they got to Jericho, there were walls everywhere? Yeah, there were walls. Why? Because you want to keep out the enemy. The only way you could have got beyond those walls is to go through the door of the city or the gate of the city. So doors are also there not only to give access but to keep out. The reason you have a door in your house is so that no one could walk in. Let me share a little story. This happened yesterday. I was home alone. I'm in the kitchen. And all of a sudden, I heard movement in my house. I got scared. I was like, oh, my God. I didn't think about it, but I should have been like, where's the knife? But I was afraid for that moment because I heard somebody like literally moving in the house. And I'm like, everyone left. I know nobody's upstairs. But guess what it was? It was the printer that warmed up and came on by itself. Printers are so spooky, man. But I was switching into a mode to what? Defend myself. I wasn't going to lay down and let you beat me up, rob me, do what you wanted me. I was at the pot. I was getting some soup, so I had my pot spoon in my hand, and I was ready for battle. Yes, but doors are used to keep people out. Doors are used to keep pets out. Yeah, you don't want wild raccoons coming into your house and attacking you while you're sleeping. No, so there is a door. It's the same way Jesus said, I am the door. So if Jesus is my door, you better believe that the enemy has to back up. Sickness have to stay out. Troubles got to stay out because I am well protected. I am guarded. Not only I have access, but I have defense. He said, I am the door for the sheep. He's not the door for a city. He's not the door for a country. Listen, salvation is a personal thing. Salvation is a personal thing. This church can't get saved. No, each person gets saved. And then we create a church. It's because you are saved, you are saved, you are saved, you are saved, you are saved. That's why you're even here to worship. It's because it is personal. So then Jesus says, I'm the door. And then he goes down and he talks a little more. He gives them two more verses. He said, I'm the one that stands up for the sheep. You know, and as I was thinking about a sheep, by nature, a sheep is a wanderer. Sheep, don't say sheeps. Okay, just for today. Sheeps are wanderers. Right? One sheep, two sheep. But for today, sheeps. They are wanderers. We grew up in Guyana, and sheep used to be walking all around. And then all of a sudden, you see a man riding down late in the night on his bicycle. Did you see a brown sheep over here? Did you see a black sheep over here? They're just asking because sheep, they do not know when it's time to go home. Other animals, for the most part, a cow may go home, a goat may go home, but sheep are wanderers. Why does God call us the sheep of his pasture? Why did Jesus come for sheep? Because we were wanderers. We were wandering in sin. We were wandering out in the world. And God says, I love you, and I'm going to send Jesus to bring you home. I'm going to let him pay the price for your sin. He's going to go and he's going to pay the price, and he's going to defeat the devil. He's going to defeat the works of darkness. He's going to break sin's control over man. What was lost in the first Adam will be restored in the second Adam, and all my sheep are coming home. They're coming home. They are coming home because God so love the word. Coming home. So Jesus is the door for the sheep. He is the door. You and I, the Bible says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. But it didn't stop there. You know what I love about the Lord? He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. God does not do things halfway. There might be time and seasons of waiting, but waiting doesn't mean that he is not capable to finish what he has started. Too many times people in church say, oh, God has left me, God has abandoned me, God has forsaken me. But what did you do to God? Have you abandoned him? Did you stop listening to his voice? Are you listening to him? Are you opening the gates of your ear to hear his voice? His word said, my sheep know my voice. And you know what the voice of lie says? That God has left you. But the voice of truth says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And you remember truth, because the sheep knows the voice of the master. So Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned. We have what? We have what? Everyone to his own way. Own way. Own way. And some of us are saved and we still like our own way. We're not submitted to God. Church, I want to speak to you this morning. I want you to come up to a whole new level of submission to the Lord. You know, the reason why we're having such a battle in the world and with the enemy is because we are not submitted to God. We're not submitted to the word of God. We're not submitting our life to what God says. We're in the kingdom. We claim we're in the kingdom, but we're living as if we're outside of the kingdom. We're full of fear. We're full of anxiety. We're full. Some of us still carry around loads of shame. Even though Jesus took it off of you, you remember. The Bible says, forget the things that are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling in God. Listen, we need to get ourselves submitted to God. Submit yourselves. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But where does it come to? Submission. Submission. What does it start with? Submission. Can I help you with some submission? Sundays at 10 o'clock is church. We're coming into church at 10:30, 10:40, 10:50, 10:15, 10:01. I'm not preaching down. I'm preaching you up this morning. Because if I keep you hooping, hollering, and shouting, I'm not helping you for the most part. But we're not submitted to the program of God. I want to tell you, it is time for us to submit ourselves to what God is doing in the earth. He said, I will build my church. You are a part of his church. And if the church is growing, you should grow as well. I will build my church. You walk through the door. You are living in the goodness of God. You're living in the faithfulness of God. Submit yourself to the program of God. Faith Church is your home. Submit yourself to what is happening at Faith. When we have a doctor's appointment, for the most part, we make it, man. Yeah, we do. But thank God for those of you who don't go. You better believe at some point you're going to be going to the doctor. And you miss those appointments and they'll tell you, we'll schedule you in 6 months. Submit yourself to the program of God. Church is at 10 a.m. The king is waiting, expecting praise and worship. And we're all putting on makeup at 10 a.m. Imagine you go for a surgery and the doctor says, hold on. And then the surgery was supposed to be 3 hours. And then at the halfway point, he said, oh, I'm so sorry, we ran out of time. We cannot complete the surgery. We'll just leave you lying here. We're going to going to stitch you back up. We're not done. And then you go home and you're like, why do I have all these complications? I want to tell you, get yourself together. Get yourself. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, if you don't want to hear pastor, listen to me. Get yourself together. Feels better coming from someone else. He said, we were a sheep gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. But God did not leave it there. But the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. My iniquity was laid on him. My children's iniquity was laid on him. My grandchildren to come, their iniquities were laid on him. And the blood, you know the powerful thing of the blood of Jesus? It is present, future, and at that point it was retroactive. Amen? Because what? This is not the blood of bulls. This is not the blood of goats. But this is the precious blood of Jesus. For we were not saved with corruptible things as silver or gold. But we were saved by the precious. Meaning there's nothing like it. Blood of Jesus. Amen? So we were wanderers. Wanderers. Remember the prodigal son, what happens? Whenever you wander, you become a prey. Whenever you wander, you become a prey. Why do you think the man comes looking for his sheep in the night? Because either somebody's going to steal the sheep and cook the sheep. It's going to become lamb chops on somebody's table, and he doesn't want that. He wants his sheep. So he comes looking for the sheep. Why do you think he don't want a wild animal to destroy the sheep? So he comes looking for the sheep. Jesus said, hey, you would leave the 99 and go looking for the one. Look for the lost sheep. Remember the prodigal son? What happened to him? Good story. He went wandering. He took all that the father had promised him or what he was supposed to inherit. He took it early. Be careful them early retirements. He took what the father had for him and he went into a far country. What he did, he wandered off. He wandered away from his family where he was safe, where he was provided for, where his future was set. But what he said, I want to do it my way. He was like Frank Sinatra. He said, I did it my way. And we know his way got him into trouble. He went, he partied. It was going good for the first couple of weeks or as long as the money lasts. He was ganging up with his friends and living wild and just getting high and getting drunk. I can't even imagine what they drank back then. Anybody knew the name? It's called wine, right? That's all we know. We don't even know the brand. But they were out there drinking and partying. The Bible says he wasted his substance in what is known as riotous living. Meaning wild living. Anything that is contrary to his father's house, he did it. And he continued to wander. And he was in a strange place. He wandered out from the good place. And he came to a what? Strange place. And at the end of it, he became a wanderer. He wandered and wandered, and he went down to the lowest place. He went feeding pigs. And the Bible says he became so hungry from his wandering that he would even eat the food from the pig stable. You know, a lot of young men, they leave their families, and they wander off with friends. A lot of young ladies, they feel like outside of the home is better. Anyone knows what I'm talking about? We see so many of them. You ask them, where do you live? Oh, I'm homeless. You know, many times, a lot of these young men and young women are homeless because of their choices. Yeah. Now, there are some situations, I am not talking about those, where people are actually homeless because of life, you know, throw a curveball at them. No, I'm saying about making the wrong choices. And you go out and they wander and they're from house to house to house to house to house to house. Then everybody gets tired of them and suddenly the access point, the door is shut. They can't get back in. And guess what they are now? They are now a prey. And the predator, the Bible says, the enemy is like a roaming lion. Roaring, roaming. He walks around walks around seeking who he may devour. I'm telling you, the devil is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the prodigal was out wandering, and he made poor choices, and then he went to the lowest estate when all was well at home. His choices did not affect home. I want to tell you, some of us feel that if we don't stand with our parents and live with our parents, it's better outside, and you think your mama's house is going to fall. No, it's not going to fall. She's going to keep working. She's going to keep doing what she got to do, and the house will be built. But you go wandering, you're going to reap the result of a wanderer. Wanderers are hungry. Wanderers are homeless. Wanderers are without kin, meaning there is none that is related to them. So they become a prey. And the predator is out ready to destroy. But you know, Jesus said, I am that door that you might enter in. And it's amazing that it's only three verses down. He says in John 10:10, the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that you might have life. I am come that you might have life. The enemy is out to destroy you, but I am here to add life to you. It doesn't matter if you were a wanderer, the door is here. It doesn't matter if you are wandering for years and years and years, and some of us are not wandering outside of our houses, we are wandering in our houses. You're in your house and it seems like you're not going anywhere. It doesn't seem like nothing is happening for you. You are wondering, when will something happen for me? I want to tell you, submit yourself to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Submit yourself to God. Humble yourself. The Bible says the key or the access point to becoming great is to become humble. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Humility. So, the devil is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Jesus didn't only come to just die on the cross, but he defeated the thief who comes to steal. He defeated the murderer, the devil who comes to kill, and the destroyer that comes to eat away at what God has purposed for you. When you come through the door of salvation, when you come through the door, you pass from death unto life. So he says that whosoever, the doors are wide open. There is room in the kingdom. Amen? When you walk through the doors, you walk into a place of safety. You walk into safety. You walk into protection. You walk into life. John 1, 12, 13 says, but as many as receive him. How many? As many. Remember we said whosoever? Whosoever. As many as receive him, to them he gives what? Power. He gives what? Power. He gives you the enablement comes from God. You know, sometimes people wonder why. I personally think one reason many do not come to Jesus is because they wonder, how can it ever be different? How can my faith in a God that I do not see make things different? How does a simple me walking to the altar and saying a simple prayer change my life? How does a simple prayer move me from fear to enjoying life? How does a simple prayer move me from wandering to finding a place of permanent residence, eternal life? How is it possible? I have the answer for you. He says, so as many as receive him, to them he gives the right or the power to become. It is not you doing anything. When you let go, God takes over. When you let go, God takes control. When you surrender, God gets to working on your behalf. I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, he wants to give you the power to become a child of God. To those who believe in his name. Simple as that. Simple as that. First, you believe on his name. The moment you believe, you get the power to become. And it is a process of becoming. Hello? Become. Become is not instant. Things do not change overnight, but you're continuously surrendering. And look at this. It is not the physical thing. Verse 13 says, who were born not of blood, not of blood of a man, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Why can God love us so unconditionally? Because he is love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Let's all stand today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's just do this song, Miracles. I believe in you. Hallelujah. You know, you're sitting in this room or rather now standing and you're saying, Pastor, I heard the word, but I feel like a wanderer. I feel like someone that has been wandering. And you might be young, you're saying, I've been wandering for 15 years. I've been wandering for 20 years, 30, 40. Some of you may have been wondering for a longer time. 50, 60, 70, 80. You've been wondering. Or maybe like the prodigal, you were once in the Father's house. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. This is a moment of decision, church. This is a moment of connection. This is a moment of you and God getting things right. I want to tell you, this is an opportunity to walk through the door. You've already walked through one awesome door. You came into his church. But today, you could take a step further. And you can come into the love of God. You can come into the grace of God. He's a God that miraculously saved men. But that miracle begins when you surrender. It comes with a decision. And every one of us have to make that decision for ourselves. I cannot get saved for you, nor can your mom be saved for you, or your dad be saved for you. Each one of us must believe. And today, if you're here and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to open these altars. And if you're saying, I'm ready, I don't want to be a wanderer anymore. I'm going to walk through these doors. I'm going to walk through rather the door, which is Jesus. I'm going to come on and surrender in.